Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. Tig in Limerick says, God, I need to go. This is to Burning Man. Not the toilet. It sounds amazing. Listening at work here and looking up the images, looks like Mad Max or something. It does look extraordinary, must be said. Seamus says that the meaning of Burning Man is that it was originally a protest against the man, 60s hippie talk. Though I think it kind of started in the 1980s. I'm not dismissing your theory at all, Seamus, because I have absolutely no idea what it means. But I suppose, as she said herself, you can read whatever you want into it. Ask her about drugs. Can people check their drugs for purity? There's always there's a cohort of our listeners who, no matter what we talk about, we could be talking about Mars exploration or farming, as we're just about to, and someone will try and crowbar drugs into the conversation. Anyway, Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal is here once again, not here to talk about drugs, but to talk about what's growing in the ground at the moment, which are not drugs.
Yeah, and is it The Straw Man? Was that the film where the guy in, you know, was this based in Scotland or some
was
island?
Was that The Wicker Man?
The Wicker Man, yes. Yeah, that was a scary movie.
That was a scary movie. But this is Burning Man. This is
always remember him burning away inside in the, you know, they built this whole big kind of contraption for him made out of straw or wicker and set it alight.
So, you've ruined it now. I'm not going to bother now.
Anyway, what's grown in the ground? Well, listen, the grass has grown like mad. But there's a heap of other things grown out there. And if you're taking a drive out in the countryside any of the evenings, or if you're planning to go down the countryside for, you know, the bank holiday weekend or anything like that. So what should you be looking for and what would you be looking out for? So grass is about 80% of what's grown. Mm. And you'll kind of just play the game. Will you know if it's a beef farm or a sheep farm, or will you know if it's a dairy farm? So on the whole, you'll know the dairy farms because it'll all be different shades of green. So it'll kind of go from a real yellow green to a dark green. And basically, that's the paddock system that they're using. Yeah. So they're taking them 20, maybe one days to get around it. And by the time they get back to the beginning again, it's nice long grass, really grassy, leafy grass rather than stemmy grass. But if they look just behind them, it's all totally eaten and is kind of yellowy and waiting for it to grow again. So also, if you're looking at dry stock farms, they're less likely to be paddocked into small areas. The dairy cows have basically moved along every day, but the livestock, you know, might be in the same field for a week. So much bigger, more extensive spaces for them. But then outside of that, you've got the whole area of tillage. And tillage farmers are the guys and the girls who grow the arable stuff, the barley and the wheat and the oats and the maize and the oilseed rape, all of that sort of stuff. And they've been flat out, they've been busy since before Christmas. They do most of the harvesting from, say, July onwards. And then they plant their winter crops. Now, the winter crops are planted in autumn. So it's, they're planted straight after the crops come out of the ground. And there's two things that are planted. It's wheat and oats are the two main ones. And you'd recognise a wheat field at this time of the year. You know, if you're looking out, you know, you've got the binoculars and you're in a nice area and you're looking down, say, if you're in Carlow, for instance, and you've gone up by the back of St. Mullins and you're looking out at the countryside. This kind of dark blue-green, really bluey-green colour. You're talking there about, it's more black-green, actually. And that's wheat. That's how you'd recognise it. Mm. And it's about, I suppose, 20 centimetres high at the moment. But you can, it's a really, you know, vivid crop in the horizon. So if you're looking for a kind of black-green. Now, a blue-green, it's a bluey-green, you know, like not the colour of the sea, but it's, you know, it's distinctive.
Yeah.
That's more likely to be the oats. So just, you know, you'd know what you're looking at when you're looking down at the field. So you've distinguished where the dry stock are, where the dairy are. You now know what difference is between the winter wheat and the winter oats.
Mm.
So,
and how tall would they be in the field?
Well, about so high. What's that? About 20 centimetres.
Yeah, all right, okay,
around that at this stage. Now, that crop would have been planted, you know, last October, early November, maybe. Got good enough conditions to do it. It's growing like mad at the moment, because it's got ideal conditions. It's sunny. It's not wet. You know, there's no heavy frosts, anything like that to cause it hassle. And the reason farmers grow these crops, plant some, you know, they not all of the crops are planted last October, that time of the year, but it breaks up the year's work. So if you were having to harvest and sow and till and, well, and, you know, do all the work that's involved in putting in a field of grain, you know, you'd be pretty busy. So the farmers break it up. So they do some of it back in the autumn and they do the rest of it now. So the stuff that's grown in the autumn is called winter because it's very hardy. It's well able to withstand the cold weather. It's got good yields, better yields. Hopefully there'll be more left in it for the farmer. But it is expensive to plant. So then you have the more, what they call the spring varieties. And they're put into the ground now. And they would have been planted maybe beginning of April, first, second week of April. And they're just beginning to come up above the ground. So you'll see the brown-tilled fields. And you'll just see this kind of, you know, like glimmer of planting across it. Mm-hmm. But that stuff, again, those crops will grow like topsy if this kind of weather continues. Now, I know this sounds like an absolute sacrilege. They probably could do with a drop of rain. you know, because, you know, they're producing leaf material and, you know, that requires moisture and, you know, you don't want them to be stunted.
If there is no rain, do most farms have some sort of facility for spraying water on the fields?
No, very few. We
do you have to buy that
little,
in or something?
No, well, we just don't have the facilities to do it. Very little irrigation. No, we get enough rain.
Yeah, I know. I'm talking about a total freak event.
No. That won't happen at all. And the other thing that's interesting about it is, and you know, your listeners might know this, but, you know, we talk about monocultures, you know, where everything is the one kind of variety. But when it comes now to tillage farming, you have to have, if you're between 10 and 30 hectares, which isn't a hell of a lot, you won't live on that as a tillage farmer. You have to have two crops that's sown. And one of them, neither of them can be over 75% of the total area sown. If you've over 30 hectares, you must have three or more different plants, varieties of grain sown. So, you know, this is why you're getting this bigger carpet of diversity now in the countryside. And, you know, it helps to prevent disease resistance. It creates diversity with nature. And, you know, it looks good, but it means that there's a lot of planning involved in where to put the extra egg or the different ground, because you can't keep sowing the same crop all the time.
Because that essentially wears it out.
That's it. Well, look, you know, farmers don't want to be putting in expensive fertilisers if they can avoid it.
Yeah.
I mean, this idea that, like, we're just dousing the place with fertiliser. Fertiliser is shocking expensive, and it isn't in it in terms of the returns. And, you know, the grain guys, we've had record harvests across the world for the last couple of years. So the stores of grain are very, very high. And in actual fact, to make anyone better off, it's going to need a weather incident somewhere where basically the crop is wiped out.
Oh,
and, you know, there'll be a problem.
We have a couple of texts actually asking, both as I drive up to Kelzall, I can see your fields of yellow.
Yes, coming to that. Yeah, that's a thing called oilseed rape.
Ah, yeah. Now, and that's really pretty. Yeah.
Unfortunately named.
Yes.
In America or in Canada, it's called canola oil. Mm. It didn't take off here, but oilseed rape is what it's called. And it's a growing crop. You know, there's not as many people growing it as there were, but it flowers fantastically at this time of the year. It's just gorgeous. And it's a really great crop for the bees. And actually, it desperately needs the bees because it can't pollinate itself unless it has the bees. Mm. So this is one crop that definitely the bees are friends of. So it flowers now and it's left in the ground until the flowers all wither and the seeds are ready. And the seeds are tiny, tiny, tiny little black seeds. And they're harvested. And you see now, most of it is used actually for animal feed because it's high in protein. But you see, there's lots of rapeseed oil out there now.
Yeah.
So you've got, I think there's Lakeshore would be one that's a common brand. There's a brand down in Wicklow as well. There's a group in Donegal making it. But right across the country now, there's different, you know, cold-pressed rapeseed oils for sale. A lot of the chefs wear them. I know Nevin Maguire.
That's all he uses,
He used about them the whole time.
Yeah.
But that's one of the crops that's kind of different that's out there.
Is it that can also be used for fuel, can it?
I don't know about that. Yeah. I think you're talking about Miscanthus.
Maybe.
Which is actually, if you see Miscanthus crops at the moment, it's like kind of stuff that's like 10 foot high or more, or 12 foot high, and it's waving in the wind, and it's kind of creamy brown. Like a really interesting crop as well. But on top of that, then we have the maize. Now, again, people will see all the plastic rind lines. It'll like be looking at you like as if it was like so many solar panels, you know, fields of solar panels. Actually, that stuff is totally biodegradable. 95% of it biodegrades in the year, or like literally over the winter time, leaving only about 5% to biodegrade over the summer. So that crop as well is used a lot for animal feed. You think of it, it's corn on the cob, basically. And you know how like to scrunch into that, and the lovely sweetness of it. So animals absolutely love it. It's a really, really popular fodder feed at this stage. And then you've also got the potatoes are going into the ground. So, you know, you've got your, the earlies are gone in, the British Queens, roosters, and then the Kerris Pinks as well. So, like, that's kind of, you know, a run of everything that's across the fields. You know, the strawberries are getting ready as well. The guys and girls around North County Dublin and parts of Cork and as well who are growing vegetables, that's all on the move as well. So it's not just cows and calves that's out there. There's a hell of a lot of stuff going on in the fields.
Fantastic. Now, you've been operating a dairy farm in the Farmer's Journal, and you're going to expand that. Is that seriously putting your money where your mouth is, sort of thing, if things go wrong?
Yeah. You can't be telling farmers what they should be doing and not doing it yourself. So this is, what is it, you know, we do as we say. Mm. So we've had a dairy farm down in Kilkenny for, I don't know, it must be 7 or 8 years now at this stage. So we do a lot of demonstrations on it, you know, bringing farmers in to show them what we're doing. And we write about it a lot in the paper. We give absolutely the full details. So there's been a clamour on for a couple of years to do the very same when it comes to sheep and sucklers. Now, you know, they're the majority enterprise in the country. There's 100,000 and more farmers actually doing some or other of this kind of work. And we've a very big specialist livestock team and a specialist sheep team. So instead of just talking academically about what you should be doing at a different time of the year, we're actually going to be doing it ourselves. And the one thing we're not advising people to do is do not go out and buy a herd of cows, suckler cows, a flock of sheep, rent a farm and get everything done and think you're going to make a profit in year one and borrow the money. You're not.
Yeah.
That's absolutely not what we're going to be doing. So it's we've got the farm, Grogan's Farm, Porrig and Joan. We've a long-term lease on it. It's down near Tullamore. Now, I can automatically see people saying, down near Tullamore, great land in Tullamore. That's not like the land of the country. I mean, most people look at, you know, each other's cars or their golf swings. Farmers look at the state of the land.
Yeah.
My land is worse than your land. Mm. It is way worse than your land. And that land is only good land. And that's why they're doing so well there, because they've got good land and we've got real bad land. And it's just this singing song. But anyway, this farm, about 2/3 of it is good land, good free draining land, but the rest of it needs drainage and there's work to be done on it and reseeding and all the rest of it. So at the moment they're flat out putting in roadways, building new paddocks, putting in more water trucks, doing a whole load of fencing, getting the animals in. A young man by the name of Gerard Dwyer is managing it for us. And he had a fantastic record, and then two cows died, one after the other. And he was absolutely, you know, he was in an awful state over it. And, you know, we've lost a couple of calves and that detail is there. But everything, every week about the place is going to be in the Farmer's Journal. And, you know, if you want to follow it, you'll be able to get the update in the print. There'll be updates in the farmersjournal.ie from this week onwards. There'll be regular video and photo footage of what we're doing out there. And there'll be open days and discussion groups as well.
Fantastic.
So it's really about, you know, proving what we're saying, doing it and getting the proven results from it.
Also, somebody texted or tweeted to say, if you'd like to mention the Roscommon Lamb Festival happening this weekend, we'd be so grateful. So there you go. Roscommon Lamb
crowd.
Festival.
Yeah, they have a great day up there.
Right, indeed. Yeah. Mairead, thanks a million for coming into us. Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal there.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big cheque for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.